Well, good afternoon, Juno. It's Pat Moore hosting the Juno Afternoon Show today. And on my show this afternoon, we'll have Sandy Fortier and Todd Hunt. They'll tell us about the Opera Spotlight, which will be this Sunday. Kim Winicky will come in from Atlin and tell us about the upcoming Arts and Music Festival there in June. Richie Auden will be here to highlight this weekend's JDU Spring Concert Juno Dance Unlimited. And Nancy DeCherney will drop by to give us a rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. So the weather forecast says that it's going to become partly cloudy this afternoon. Let's hope not. Highs around 60, southwest winds 10 miles per hour, and then increasing clouds tonight. Lows around 44, southwest winds up to 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In Canada, an Ontario First Nation group wants the provincial chief coroner to allow a joint inquest into the deaths of several teenagers. Dan Karpinchuk has more.
The seven teens all left families in various reserves to pursue an education in the city, but all seven were found dead in Thunder Bay over the past 11 years, and many of the circumstances of those deaths were similar. The families in the Anishinaabe Nation, which represents 49 First Nations communities, want an inquest into their deaths to find out what happened. Most of the teens drowned in rivers running through Thunder Bay, but the exact details of what led to their deaths is still unclear. Julian Falconer is the lawyer for the Anishinaabe Nation. He says a pattern emerged after the most recent deaths.
That doesn't make the other deaths less important, but certainly the two most recent deaths have really triggered deep community fears about the causes of these deaths.
The families and communities where loved ones were lost are hoping a wide inquest will provide answers to questions that have lingered for years. The string of deaths began in November of 2000. Many now fear whether it's safe enough to send their teenagers to school in the city. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
South Dakota has announced the winners of scholarships designed to encourage Native students to pursue higher education. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Governor Dennis Stuttgart announced the scholarship winners this week. The Hagen Harvey Scholarships are named for a former state lawmaker from Pine Ridge and a woman who left her estate to set up the program. Funding ranges from $1,000 for a single academic year to $6,000 over 4 years. Recipients must be South Dakota members of a tribe. They're selected on grades, leadership potential, college entrance tests, and other criteria. Two of the scholarship winners are from Rapid City. Other recipients are from Eagle Butte, Chamberlain, Pine Ridge, and Parade. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
Enrollment of Native American students in the University of Wisconsin system jumped 50% over 5 years, but the graduation rate still lags. Mike Simonson reports.
Figures from 2009 show more than 1,800 Native American students enrolled. That's 550 more than in the fall of 2005. But the six-year graduation rates are 65% by all students compared to 40% for Native students. Ed Manydeeds of Eau Claire is the first Native American member of the UW Board of Regents. He says retention is a problem.
Native Americans are more than capable of being successful. It's just a struggle to have them take advantage of opportunities and then stay with it.
Manydeeds says much of this can be drawn to cultural differences. He's hoping UW campuses have a place for Native students to go.
As kind of a community center for them, taking the place of their families or their extended families on the reservation, which is very important to Native peoples.
Northland College in Ashland is just starting an Indigenous Peoples Center. Red Cliff Tribal member James Pete is the new director. He plans cultural sharing meetings with the campus and community on things like ricing, making maple syrup, and sovereignty. He says that can foster respect.
That's probably something that maybe has been worked on since 1890 and is going to be worked on until 2090 and beyond, you know. That's part of the challenge that we all have.
Manydeeds says the UW system is working with tribes and Native student groups in hopes of seeing retention and graduation rates increase. For National Native News, I'm Mike Simonson in Superior, Wisconsin.
On this day in 2003, Army Private Lori Paiestewa was honored in an exhibit at the Women in Military Service for America Memorial. She was the first servicewoman to die in the Iraq War and is considered to be the first Native American woman to die in combat. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
I'm Billy Mills. As a grandfather and Olympic athlete, I know the importance of keeping kids healthy. The Children's Health Insurance Program in your state can provide your child additional health coverage, such as dental care, vision care, and emergency services. Enrolling your child can also help maximize health resources at your travel clinic. To learn more, contact your clinic or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW or visit insurekidsnow.gov.
Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're in tune with KTOO News, and it's about 5 minutes after, well, it's 5.5 minutes after three, and my first two guests are here in the studio with me and are going to tell us about an upcoming event that promises to be fun, delightful, and maybe a little bit classical, but probably more classic than classical. Anyway, Sandy Fortier and Todd Hunter here from Opera to Go. Mm-hmm. What's coming up?
Well, this coming Sunday, the 27th, we have Opera Spotlight. And it's at the Hangar on the Wharf Ballroom. It's a different sort of show than what you would think. And so we have it at the Hangar on the Wharf Ballroom, and we have food and drinks, and some local singers that you know or may not know are planning on singing some songs for you, opera arias, art songs. Yeah.
So are we stepping back to when there was no TV? Are we back to, did this kind of thing happen?
Oh, well, sure. I didn't even think about it in those terms, but absolutely.
I mean, Mozart used to show up at big parties.
Right. This is what this is a big party that everybody is invited to, although we do have limited space available. This was actually started a few years ago at Opera to Go as a way for local singers to be able to get up on stage and sing, you know, a song or two. Basically be able to get on stage without having to go through all of the rigors
of preparing for an entire three-act opera, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. And so this gets a lot of people up there who wouldn't normally do it, who don't have time to do that, or maybe don't have the inclination to do that. Uh-huh. Of course, there are people on the program that do, because they just love to sing, and you can't keep them off the stage if you tried.
And they probably say,
you can sing too.
They probably say they don't have enough opportunities,
right.
And so they're looking forward to
this. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So this is, kind of a celebration of that sort of thing. The tight-knit community we've got here in Juneau coming out to support their other community members who sing.
Cool.
And, like Sandy said, we've got food, and it'll be, of course, a no-host bar, although with the ticket price, we buy the first round.
Yeah, we just want everyone to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So who all is going to take the stage?
So we've got a few people that you see on the stage here on a regular basis, like Philippe Damerval, Kathy Bashigian, Rebecca Grimes is another one who's been on stage a number of times, and a lot of other, I don't want to call them newcomers, because they've all done things here before, but sometimes maybe just in the chorus or have smaller roles or maybe haven't done, anything with us. So
are you, who's accompanying?
Oh, Rosie Humphrey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
she's
been around for a few years and has played for a lot of groups, the Symphony and Bach Society and such in the past. So, we're very happy to have her on board as well.
So now, do you have a role in, working these numbers up with them?
That's how I'm spending most of my day today. I'm taking a break now to come and talk to you. But, we've been rehearsing with singers and getting the pieces ready and deciding what they're going to do and just watching it all come together.
Uh-huh. And is there choreography to it? To what degree,
no.
I guess. There's always some.
Only if people want to add it,
I don't mean dancing or anything like that, but I mean, do you have to kind of decide in advance?
Well, if it's going to be acted out, there will be some of that, but it's certainly not a staged sort of thing. Certainly, concert versions, I guess, of the things that we're doing. But it's pretty informal. Too. I mean, if you can sit back, have a beer in your hand, and watch this, and when they're done, scream and applaud and everything, and heck, mm-hmm. maybe even jump up on stage yourself.
You guys, you talked about your intimate community. Mm-hmm. You all know who your opera fans are. Mm-hmm. So here's a question. Not a name and a name, but who would you like to be surprised at in the table over in, say, four rows away from the stage? Who would you like to walk in there and see? What kind of person would that be?
Oh, what kind of person would that be? I don't know. You wanna
Well, we're hoping to get some cruise ship passengers just because that would be fun, and so they can see the kind of talent that we have in Juno, because people are always very surprised with that. You know, this kind of event is designed for people who don't really think they want to go to a big opera,
right.
and they come and they, oh yeah, I know that song. Oh
right.
yeah, I
mm-hmm.
know that person.
Uh-huh.
You know, my neighbor doesn't go to opera, but she'd probably come and see me, and then
so there's
there
less risk here.
Oh, there's totally less
yeah,
risk.
Yeah, I mean the risk of finding yourself in a 2-hour opera and thinking I am going to be falling asleep in 5 seconds here.
Right. No, because
no,
it's going to change up all the time,
okay.
and it's certainly not going to be 2.5 to 3 hours long. We'll probably have about an hour's worth of music, but staggered a little bit. People can get up and go have a drink and
we planned in. A lot of social time, so the who's who will be there, and you can just get to know everybody, get to know the singers.
Yeah,
I hid out for years because I thought opera was and then when my daughter was in high school up in Anchorage, and they give them free tickets to go to the opera,
right.
and they like to have an adult accompany the group, and so I became the kind of chaperone.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered that I love this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and so here I am now. I try to get to everyone I can. So So the event again. We need those times.
Sure.
So May 27th. That is this coming Sunday. Just like 3-4 days away.
Mm-hmm.
At 3:00 in the afternoon, at the Hangar on the Wharf Ballroom. Tickets are $25, and the first drink is on us.
Okay, and about a 2-hour program?
Yeah, probably tops.
Okay,
we've
got like about another 2 minutes here. What's next?
What's next? So next season is really exciting. It's something that has been building up for the last few years, actually. We commissioned a children's opera from Rory Stitt, and it is going to be performed next year in the spring with a workshop going through it musically in a public venue in the fall. So that's sort of the big thing that's coming up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Rory has, one of the local...
Yeah.
Homegrown rock and rollers really wants to kind of get into more, quote, serious music. And,
so when are we looking at this opening?
So the production will be actually pretty much exactly a year from today.
Mm-hmm.
And workshopping probably in a late September, early October. I think we're still nailing down the dates for that, but that's the rough time frame.
Kids in the cast?
Oh, yeah, kids in the cast. So there's a few children. It hasn't been cast yet, but it will be. Yeah, he's actually writing the music right now. I got a note from him today saying, I'm writing on it. It's coming. It's coming. So, we haven't cast anything because the music's not done.
Right.
But, there's at least 3 or 4 children's roles and a children's chorus that are in the cast.
What else has Opera to Go done that involved children?
Gosh, not a whole lot.
So.
When we did Tritico, there in the third act of that, Johnny Skeeky, there are 2 children's roles. Actually, there's 1 children's role that we had 2 children split up. Arctic Magic Flute was 5 years ago, maybe. There was one...
So this is not an opportunity that just shows up every week or two.
Right. No, it's a little special, and it's one of the things that I really think that we need to be reaching out to the younger set more, and this is a way to get them involved and have something for their peers to see as well.
Okay, and you going to talk about that at all on Sunday at 3?
Oh, well, definitely.
I would imagine we'll hear a little bit more, maybe. Maybe even the writer will be there to...
Well, he won't be, but you never know, unless you show up.
So it's Sunday at 3 at the Hangar.
That's right.
It's a reasonable price. I think it's $25 bucks to get in, and that includes the first drink and an afternoon of beautiful singing.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Hey, thank you, folks, for coming down and telling us about this.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 24th of May, 2012. It's the birthday of the novelist Michael Chabon, born in Washington, D.C., 1963, who grew up loving comic books and then started to write his own. And when he was 10, wrote his first short story starring Sherlock Holmes. Went to graduate school at the University of California, Irvine, wanted to be a writer, so he wrote a novel as his thesis. One of his professors sent it off to an agent, and Chabon got a nice advance. The novel came out, The Mysteries of Pittsburgh. It was a bestseller when it came out in 1988. It took him a few years to do his second book, Wonder Boys, 1995, another bestseller. And then Chabon decided to go in a new direction. He had found a box of comics which he'd saved from childhood. He opened it up, the smell came pouring out, and he set out to write an epic story about comic book creators in the 1940s. It was The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, a novel that moved from the ghetto of Nazi-occupied Prague to the bohemian nightlife of New York City. A new novel, Telegraph Avenue, will be published this fall. And it's the birthday of the poet Joseph Brodsky, born Leningrad, 1940. He was publishing poems by the age of 18. When he was 23, he was charged by the authorities with malicious parasitism, sentenced to 5 years in a Siberian labor camp. Went back to Leningrad, tried to make a living as a poet, kept getting in trouble with the authorities, and in 1972, the KGB put him on a plane to Vienna. He was taken in by an American professor of Russian literature, introduced to W.H. Auden, who helped secure Brodsky residency in this country. He got teaching positions, and in 1987, won the Nobel Prize in Literature. Here's a poem for today by Julie Cadwallader Staub, entitled Looks. Perhaps everyone else has forgotten it, but in the days when my mother poured her midsection into a girdle, when she gathered her nylons into flimsy donuts before unrolling them up one leg and then the other, in the days when we, her daughters, fastened bulky sanitary napkins to sanitary napkin belts, there was dippity-doo. My mother dabbed the greenish-blue gel from the jar, reached up and slid a section of hair through her fingers, then wound the hair around a bristly curler, securing it against her scalp with a plastic curler pin. Now my daughters trap and pull their naturally wavy hair through the jaws of a straightener so that their hair might be as straight as a pin, which is exactly the way my mother used to describe her own hair, and with a sense of tragedy, mine as well. I don't know who decides whether curly or straight is the right look for hair, and I can't say that I care, but what matters to me still is the way the light changed in my mother's eyes as her gaze shifted from her own reflection in the mirror down to mine, the way her exasperation eased with the hair, the dippity-doo, the curlers, the way the wrinkles over her cheekbones deepened and a smile emerged, as if we were co-conspirators, co-creators in some grand drama, as I handed her another curler, another pin. Looks, a poem by Julie Cadwallader Staub, used by permission of the poet here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. And by Reputation.com, helping professionals and businesses manage their reputations online, because search results can be the new first impression. Learn more at Reputation.com. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
19 and a half minutes after 3 o'clock. Pat Moore hosting Juno Afternoon today, and my next guest is coming to us from Atlin, British Columbia. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Kim. Kim is in charge of a music festival in Atlin that I'm not sure everyone in Juno knows about, but I imagine every musician in Juno knows about it. Tell us about this big tent event.
Well, the Atlin Arts and Music Festival is a multidisciplinary festival. We've been around since 2003, and we feature music, a lot of diverse music, visual arts, film, dance, and we're totally family-friendly. That's a big part of what we're about.
So family-friendly, I took a look at some video footage on your website, and I could see kids playing outside. Now, you do this under a big-top tent.
Well, we do it. We sort of do it all over Atlin. Uh-huh. We take over a ball field, and we have a 2,000-person, 2,200-person capacity tent in the main Ball Diamond area, and we have vendors set up in that area as well. And then we have visual artist tents where our visual artists do demonstrations or interactive workshops with people. And then we have a children's area that's connected to that main festival grounds where parents stay with their kids. It's not like daycare or anything, but there's media and some very loosely structured or non-structured activities for younger children to participate in. We have the biggest hit for the kids, it's in the film, is the sand pile. And it's like a magnet for children. And they just go with their little plastic shovels and or not and just play around in the sand pile. And then we also take over a couple of buildings in Atlin. We have a stage downtown called the Globe Theater, which is a historic building that seats about 100 people, and there's some real interactive, intimate performances there by our singer-songwriters, duos, trios. And then we have also a building called Kershaw's where the visual artists display their work, and we set up another 300-person tent down by the Atlin Lake, and it's new this year, actually. It's a new feature. We just purchased this tent because we needed a larger venue to feature singer-songwriters. And it's going to be really exciting to have that down by the lake because it's a beautiful setting for a festival, the whole town.
I'm hearing a wonderful summertime echo of the Spring Music Festival here in Juneau. Is it the same? Do we see some of the same faces?
Yes, you would see the same faces and the same sort of community vibe to it, I would say. Like, the festival is much more than just the music. It's really, somebody described it a few years back as a big hug. That's what it feels like you're walking into when you come to this festival. And people are camping next to each other, camping. As we've grown very quickly, and we bring about 2,200 people to our festival now. And so everyone's camping, tightly against each other, and it's the dancing. Like, I looked around the Saturday night of the festival, and I turned around in the tent, and there was like 2,000 just beaming faces, and it's an amazing feeling to be a part of it.
Yeah. It sounds like. Did you kind of grow up with it, or how long have you been involved in the festival?
Well, I moved here, 5 or 6 years ago, and I've been to the festival every year, and they hired me to produce it last year. It was totally volunteer-driven until then, and it grew very, very quickly, and the board and the organizers were very aware that they couldn't sustain that level of growth without bringing somebody in to direct it and to produce it. So they brought me in last year as producer, and then this year they asked me to be artistic director as well, which was a really big honor and a lot of responsibility, but a lot of fun too, right? It was great. Yeah, I'm very happy.
I'm hearing a lot of responsibility all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's right. Did I say a lot of responsibility?
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah. Anyway, I understand a little bit about the excitement of suddenly having to do how many acts?
Yeah, that's right. And to try to balance a lineup. And that's really important to us because we're not just folk. We're not just bluegrass. We've got world music and bluegrass this year and folk for sure and singer-songwriters. We also have some world music this year. We have storytellers. It's really diverse, and we only bring up 14 acts. So it's an interesting balance, and it's challenging. But once you fit, you can feel it when you got the right balance, and I feel like we got it this year.
So there's 15 acts that are like I'm trying to figure out how this program works. Do you do the kind of 15-minute segment that we do here, or are you
longer? No. So what we do is we have the three venues, and what I try to do, so our secondary stage venues, that's the tent and the globe, the smaller tent and the globe, they run from 11 until 5 every day, so Saturday and Sunday. Main stage is open from start of the festival, which is Friday at 4:30 until 1 in the morning. And then on Saturday and Sunday, it's open from 10 or 11 until 1 in the morning. So every musician does 3-hour or 45-minute sets. On a variety of stages. And the way our main stage tent is set up, there's a beer garden area attached to it so people in the beer garden can hear the music. And it's a little bit louder because of that at times, especially later on in the evening. So this year we'll be featuring some of the bigger sounds, the more full sounds, and focusing the singer-songwriter people mostly on the secondary stages, except for our headliners, which will be on the main stage, just because I think many, 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 many people are going to want to watch them. So for capacity, we've got them on the main stage.
Dancing, too?
Dancing, yeah, I'm all about dancing. So, and so is the festival. So definitely, I think 4 or 5 of our bands are really danceable. And fun, like it's not a party festival, you know, it's a have fun festival. So we've got Gary Como, who's Cajun music, great fiddler. We've got Big Soul, which is Motown, and Motown covers and a really great groove. We've got Elage Diouf, who's a Senegalese percussion world music band, 5-piece, and Declan O'Donovan, who's piano, keyboard, sort of like Tom Waits, but he also steps it up and can really drive a crowd with sort of bluesy music, too. So they'll be the main dance bands, and yeah, we'll be dancing a lot.
Now this is not, this steps away from a standard music festival because you also incorporated the visual arts into the format.
Yeah, that's right. And the Atlin is a really, it's an artistic center. There's a lot of visual artists who live in Atlin, and it's a really big part of that town. So, yeah, we have a variety of media being featured right now and in our visual arts. And those of you, of your listeners who've been up before, we have some returning artists this year, and there'll be Mary Beattie, who does felting, and she'll be doing workshops and demonstrations in that. We have Patrick Royal, who's a wonderful potter, and he's going to be doing raku and workshops and demonstrations in that. We have encaustic painting, which is painting with wax, and that's always a really popular workshop. There's basketry and needlework on paper and painting and drawing workshops for people. And our workshops fill up. They're free to weekend pass holders. This year there might be a couple that have a small fee for supplies, like maybe $10 or something. We haven't quite decided on that yet, but they're generally free. And we also have workshops for kids, like there'll be movement and art for children workshops. And then, just so I don't forget, the Yukon Summer Music Camp is also coordinating djembe workshops for three age ranges of children, so for younger kids, medium-sized kids and then teenagers. So they'll they have one of our local music teachers and musicians has a drum line, and he's great with kids of all ages, and he's a great percussionist as well, so they can hit things and have fun doing it.
Hey, Kim, how do you get to Atlin from Juneau?
You get on your ferry, you get to Skagway first,
okay.
And apparently people ski it, I hear,
well,
but you don't have to ski.
If possible.
you can take the ferry to Skagway and then head towards Whitehorse, and when you get to Carcross, you hang a right, and then you'll go up the Carcross Road, and then you have from Carcross, it's about another hour and a half. So I'd say from Skagway, 2 hours, 2.5 hour drive, and it's a good condition road. We have lots of people from Skagway come up, and I know a few people from Juneau come up too, and probably more than have talked to me, you know, but I've met people from Juneau there.
When's what are the dates again?
Oh, July 6th through 8th, and tickets are $120 in advance. And you can get them online at atlinfestival.ca, and that's through the Yukon Arts Centre box office. And we're asking that people elect to have them mailed out so we don't have to hold them at the gate, and then you don't have to bring ID and all that sort of stuff to pick up your tickets. If there's any left, and they're going pretty quickly, then they'll also be available at the gate for $130. Kids under 12 are free, and youth 13 to 17 are half price. People over 80 are free too, and seniors are half price.
Seniors are half price. When does seniors start in Canada?
Yes, we're pretty flexible.
Oh.
We haven't really just talked about that one. Probably 65.
Oh, okay.
My friends don't want to be called seniors yet.
So. That's usual. Anyway, some of us earned it and are glad when we get called that. So.
Yes.
That's
another discussion.
Well, I'm of the generation where we were never supposed to trust anyone over 30. So to have gotten to my age is an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah.
Okay. Kim, that's a wonderful thing coming up. June 6th through 8th in Atlin, B.C.
Oh, July 6th through 8th.
July 6th through 8th. So after the 4th of July, turn around and go to Atlin and get the tickets online. Thank you, Kim.
That's right. Thanks for your time.
And have a nice festival.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Programming support from Southeast Rock Camp. First session starting June 4th for kids 6 to 17. Beginning or more advanced players, play in a band, write a song, and perform in a rock concert at Rock Camp. From Alaska Music One, 789-0218.
It's 25 minutes to 4, and I have guests in the studio from the Juno Dance Unlimited. There's a big program coming up just in a matter of, it's down to almost hours now, I think, isn't it? With me today are, a whole bunch of people. Richie Aden, who is new to the community, I think, and bringing some new talent to JDU. Philip Crowder. Thank you. Philip Crowder is here, and Charlotte Truitt and Marissa Truitt are with me. So let's see if we can get everybody close enough to a microphone to be heard. And young ladies go first. So, Marissa.
Hi.
What brings you to my studio today?
My mom.
Marissa's one of our, stars.
Okay, you come around here, you have the show now. With that response, I'm off.
Marissa's one of our dedicated students.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Okay. So, how long have you been dancing?
Since I was 4, so about 9 years.
Oh, my. And so, what type of dance are you doing?
Ballet and theater dance.
Up on toes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And theater dance. My daughter does jazz dance. Are those kind of related at all?
Maybe I can answer for her.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay.
Theater dance is basically jazz orientated. It's really the heritage of American jazz from the 20s to the 60s.
Oh, okay.
But they cover not only today's jazz, they cover it from all the decades. They have to be equipped as triple threat performers, so they need to know American musical theater. So that alone has, America is about jazz anyway.
Uh-huh.
That's
uh-huh.
the where. You,
right.
That's an American heritage.
Now, this emphasis on Broadway dance, has that been part of JDU
I think this is the first year that's
been. Yeah, this is a new thing at JDU, a new program that we have to offer there.
And how did that new program come about?
I came here to work as the artistic director this past year, and Richie's my partner, and she came here with me, and that's her background is theater, dance, Broadway, musicals. Acting, all of those aspects of theater. And so she's offering her talents to us now, and we're very grateful to have her here, yes.
Yeah. So
I also am what they call a Reconstructionist, not Jewish, but I reconstruct ballets from Oklahoma to West Side Story to all those archives, and I want the kids to learn those original choreographies from Agnes DeMille, Jerome Robbins, as much as they're doing ballet from Balanchine, all those people, they also need to know a good history about theater dance, because this is their heritage, and I want them to know those ballets so that they become equipped when they go to New York or to wherever they want to be. I don't know what they want to be when they grow up, but they at least are equipped and versatile to do anything.
And that's the theme of our concert this weekend. Our spring performance is going to be Ballet the Broadway, where the audience members will be able to see the connection.
How are you going to generate that connection?
Well, we're going to start the program out with classical ballet technique and neoclassical ballet, and we'll continue through the performance with modern dance and hip-hop and contemporary dance, leading to the Broadway production, which everybody will really enjoy if they come see us.
I see. So now the concert is going to be... Charlotte?
Can tell them the information for this weekend's concerts. It's tomorrow night, Friday night at 7 o'clock at Thunder Mountain High School, and then Saturday at 2 and at 7. And tickets can be purchased at the Jack or Hearthside or there at the door. We're really excited about this production because it is showing the new broad spectrum of dance that's available at JDU. And it's a wonderful... the quality is really amazing. I've been able to see the rehearsals, and I think people will be pleased with what they're seeing. And very proud of what is available here in Juneau. We also are collaborating with Mr. Shaw and his studio to have live string quartet playing for our Haydn Opus 76, the first movement. And that will be a piece on point with our most advanced point dancers. So that's going to be a lovely musical experience. I know people have been enjoying all the jazz and classics going on this month, and the good music is going to continue through the weekend at these concerts, performances. And so we've tried to reach out to the community, partner with different groups like the string players, and just, you know, showcase the really great talent that is here.
So, times again for the concert.
7 p.m. tomorrow night.
Okay.
2 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Saturday at Thunder Mountain High School.
And this, okay, so Thunder Mountain High School is a new venue. Have you performed in there before?
Yes, we did last year.
Okay.
We did our performance out there, and it's a really fine place to see ballet. It's a gorgeous stage and intimate seating. It's a really nice size and good sound and good visual. There's not a bad seat in that house, and so we're real excited to be there.
Marissa, how's it for dancing?
It's good. The stage is kind of small, but that's like JD too. So
well, hopefully they'll build a modern state-of-the-art theater here someday, and so that all the performing arts yeah. groups in town will be able to enjoy that.
Well, I had a question for Ricci too. You talked about reconstruction.
Yes.
That would imply to me that there must have been some drift from an original.
Yes, like I've worked with the Rodgers and Hammerstein Foundation and the Agnes DeMille Foundation. Therefore, I have been like ballet. The prima ballerina passes that Sleeping Beauty. Particular piece to the next of kin. Meanwhile, I'm one of the lucky ones that they have given the ballet to, so now I have the opportunity to pass it on to the next of kin.
To the next generation.
Like the next of, yes.
To go back to the way it was originally and pass that version
right.
on.
That vision,
what
yeah.
kinds of differences happen?
What
do you have to reconstruct from? What has to change to be... to go back to the original? How does it drift is what I'm asking.
You have to really look at the vision of the playwright and the composer and the choreographer, like Jerome Robbins, King and I, for example. If you try to do your own version, it just doesn't have the same quality and class to it. And the whole thing about The King and I is about the ballet. Same with Oklahoma. It's the ballet. And if we don't give that to our children now, they are not going to know how precious these things are and how beautiful these things are. And I think once they know where they come from, they can really soar to wherever they want to go. But it's their history they have to.
But understanding the source is
yes.
is as important as it is in many other art forms. I don't exactly. think many of us right. think about that when
Correct.
We think about dance.
It's a great responsibility to make sure that you do the original choreography, the original intent of what yeah. it was meant. A lot of these musicals, West Side Story, The King and I, Carousel, all these great musicals, they're really masterpieces, great works of art. Mm-hmm. So we really try to make sure that we do the original. And that's what Ricci does. She reconstructs that.
We're so fortunate to have her here in Juneau to be able to do this. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the permission and the right to do it. And some of the great numbers that are this weekend are from Chicago with the Hot Honey Rag. And like when she reconstructed it, I believe there are more than just two dancers in that piece so that we give more opportunities to the dancers. So when you asked about reconstruction, I think sometimes that refers to the number of dancers or, you know, maybe making a modification, but staying true to the original yeah. intent and the true choreography. So,
okay.
And there's some great numbers, too. There's also Hairspray. Ricci, do you want to let them know the other numbers that are in this show?
I have from one is Won't You Charleston With Me is from The Boyfriend.
Oh.
And I bet you know that number, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I have one from Hairspray because I wanted the kids to know, because I know That's a new musical, and I tried to make it like from the 20s, 30s, 40s, so that you see the history of America right there. And I have one called Satin Doll from Duke Ellington, but it was choreographed by Carol Haney at the Ed Sullivan Show at 1957. Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, this sounds like a really interesting program, a lot of fun too. Who all's dancing? Who are some of the dancers?
Well, we have all of our advanced dancers, Marissa Truitt, and gosh, it's hard for me to name all of them. There's so many of them. But I think that the audience will be pleasantly surprised at how wonderful our dancers are, how strong they are, the dynamic, fantastic performers they are at such a young age. That when they come to see our performance, they'll feel like they're watching a professional dance company and not a recital.
I also want to stress out, that's why I love working with them, because they are in a very high level professionally. That's why it inspires me to give them more, because they can do the work, because it demands a lot. So you have to have very skilled dancers to do these kind of work, or else why would I give it, you know? Why would...
What a wonderful thing to say. Well, here we are then with a concert coming up, let's see, Friday night and Saturday. All the performances are at TMHS. Mm-hmm. Tickets are available all around town. This is the Juno Dance Unlimited Spring Concert. First performance is at, somebody refresh my memory, 7 p.m. Friday?
Yes, mm-hmm. Friday, May 25th, 7 p.m., and Saturday at 2 p.m., and Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium. The name of our production is Ballet of Broadway.
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Music which you'll be hearing this weekend if you go to the Juno Dance Unlimited performances, all at JDHS at 7 p.m. on Friday, 2 and 7 p.m. Saturday. They're all at Thunder Mountain High School's auditorium. This is the spring showcase from Juno Dance Unlimited. And guess who's here? As every week, the lady who is in the know about the arts.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing, shall we? Arts up.
That was lovely music.
Yeah, it was.
Perfect for this afternoon, don't you think?
I think so.
We have a busy week ahead of us. When don't we have a busy week ahead of us? Well, it's coming to the end of the Southeast Alaska Beer Week. There's a couple of more things happening here in town. And then everybody's headed up to Haines for Beer Fest. Hope you all have your tickets, because I think they might be out. Let's see. Today at 6 o'clock. Is the Jensen Olson Arboretum Annual Wine Tasting. I know Tom Loker will be playing for that. It's a lovely day to be in the greenhouse sipping wine. This is your last weekend to see the Bigfoot and Other Lost Souls. If you haven't seen this, this is the weekend that you need to do it, because otherwise you won't get to. And I do know there are a few tickets left, but this is outright prolonged laughter. It's fun. It's got great music and singing. It's kind of silly in parts. I do suggest that you go and see it. Nickelodeon is showing Bully, which is sounds like a pretty intense film. They will be showing that all this weekend as well. On Friday, starting at 8 in the morning and going until noon, the Alaska Peace Officers Crime Conference is offering a seminar called You Say More Than You Think by Janine Driver. You can get tickets to this at Hearthside Books. The Kimball Organ Noon Concert, as always, is at the State Office Building. We have, as you mentioned, the ballet on Friday. We have Bigfoot and Dan Hobson's over at the Gold Room. I happen to know that Dan is getting ready for a new recording, so I think if you go there, you might get a preview of coming attractions.
Sure.
Yeah, so there. Saturdays, 9 a.m. all day, Alaska Public Gardens Day. Go on out to the Jensen Olson Arboretum. It should be a beautiful day in the garden. The primroses are probably just perfect. The daffodils just perfect, so go on out for that. That will be an all-day event. The Jensen Olson Arboretum, if you've never been there, is out past the shrine, and just as you think you're headed to Eagle Beach, you make a sharp hairpin turn just after mile 26. It's beautiful. 9:30 a.m. is the SEAS, the Seas Cup, J. Ginter Memorial Day Regatta. If this will go on all weekend. You can pay $50 for the whole weekend or $10 a race. You can get more information about this at the seasailing.us website. At 10 a.m., it's the Broken Glass Pickup, which is sponsored by Grateful Dogs of Juneau. This will be over at Sandy Beach, so come on over with some gloves and some bags and help your dog friends out. 1 p.m., it's the annual Hershey's Track and Field Games and all-comer meet at Thunder Mountain Track and Turf Field. And once you get done with that, you can go over and see the ballet. And then you've got the Yellow Submarine in concert going on at the Nickelodeon at 4 and at 9, and I think it goes on later other times too. I can't remember. 5 p.m., there's a whale-watching cruise to benefit the Community Christian Counseling Center. You can get tickets. Check our website for the info on that. Saturday night, swing at the Rookery. It looks like they must have the Unzicker Band playing because the Unzicker Band is going to be at the Rookery too. So let's see. We got Dan up at the Baranoff. We got Tom Loker at Zephyr. We have Alaska Beatdown at the Rendezvous at 8 p.m. And at 10 p.m., Kari Griven and the Wrist Rockets take over the upstairs at the Viking. So it's a busy night on Saturday night. Sunday is Juneau Douglas District School District graduation day. So all your high school friends that are graduating, it'll be their big day. 2 p.m. is your last opportunity to see Bigfoot and other lost souls. At 3 p.m., it's the Opera Spotlight. This will be at the Hangar Ballroom, and you can get tickets at the Jack online and at Hearthside Books. They're showing Bully again at 4, 7, and 9:30. Let's see, and Monday is Memorial Day holiday. There will be a rally to save the Douglas Post Office. Come at 12:30 p.m. to the Douglas Depot. I think you should mail something. Let's do that.
That sounds ideal. Let's flood the post office with mail.
The post office with mail.
Right.
Send mail to people you know who have mailboxes at the Douglas Post Office, and bring mail and mail it there. They'll be closed, but you know, this is important, people. Right. I like the post office. Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., Eros, Asteroids, and Planetary Transits. Venus is transiting or doing something. I don't know what. So you can go to the Marie Drake Planetarium at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday and find out more about that. That's free, as always. That's down between Harborview and the high school. On Wednesday, 6 p.m., Satellites, Seeing the World in a Whole New Way, something they're doing down at the downtown library, and it is free. It looks like the Nickelodeon switches to American Meat, and I think that's it. Now, I just want to remind people that we're getting ready for all the summer activities, concerts in the park. We will start those up again on June 1st. It's coming right upon us. And the important thing to realize is we have changed the hours this year. We are going to be starting concerts in the park at 5:30 and going till 7, which might be a really nice time for families. I'm working with the flight deck and the rookery to see if they'll have picnics, box picnics that you can pick up. So just be ready for that. And also, it's probably going to be a BYO chairs situation at Marine Park, as there are no more seating arrangements there. So when you come for concerts in the park, you can dance or you can bring your own chair. Thunder Mountain Big Band's the first group, and I think the swing dancers are coming down for that. So if it's a rainy day, it'll be over at the Jack. But
so the time change again? They're going
to
be...
It was 5:30 to 7 p.m., and they're starting June 1st, and it'll go through the middle of August.
This is right around the corner,
night.
Yeah.
Free, lots of fun, great thing to do with kids and families. So we want to see you there, and we will be also starting up the Sunday markets. That will be noon to 4-ish. Just had an organizational meeting, and if you want more information about that, give me a call. Check our website. We have a Sunday market Facebook page started as well, so you'll find out what's happening, who's bringing what. There's going to be worms, I know that.
Well, how could we resist?
And, you know, we're going to have busking as well. So there'll be music there. People are going to, I think, Valerie.
Are the worms going to busk? This
they
is
might,
the question.
You know. We'll get Jeff Brown to bring his trained fleas, a flea circus over. I think Valerie Snyder is going to be doing a juggling workshop on one of them. So just stay tuned. There's going to be lots of fun stuff going on Sundays as well. So I think that's all
Wonderful.
We have.
Nancy, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet.
Spirit of Youth celebrates teenage Alaskans who are making our communities better places to live. They give their time, their hearts and minds, their passion, their creativity. Now, hear their stories.
My name is Birch Boyer and I'm 12 years old. We have a cheese stick. You can even open the wrapper.
This is the busy, happening atmosphere at the Robot Rendezvous, an annual competition for first LEGO League teams from all across Alaska. This room is where the youngest teams are displaying their work. Junior FLL is for early elementary school kids. Birch has his own team and same-age teammates here, but he's working with another team, too. They're called the Chugach Cheesers.
My other team, I am the mentor team. So it consists of three kindergartners.
And so one of those kindergartners you know pretty well because he's your brother.
He's my younger brother and he is 5 years old.
Birch helps the Cheesers learn the ropes of First LEGO League, from the research and preparation stages through to the day of competition. Each year, FLL has a new science-inspired theme. This time, it was all about food. Birch is a sixth grader at Chugach Optional School in Anchorage, which is also where his little brother goes.
Well, I've got a few reasons. One is that I enjoy it. Two, well, I'm from Chugach, and that's just how Chugach works. The older kids help the younger kids. And I wanted to learn how to teach younger kids.
Lynette Boyer is Birch's mom, and she's the Chugach Cheesers coach.
It's just great to see Birch stepping out and leading the younger kids and really learning how to give direction without stepping in and doing it himself.
I'm Shanna Sheehy.
Give a young person you know a boost by recognizing the good things they're doing. Nominate at spiritofyouth.org.
Provided by the Alaska State Division of Behavioral Health.
Updated weather forecast says you better get out there and enjoy the sun because it's supposed to cloud up this evening and become mostly cloudy late, patchy fog later, lows 37-45, light winds, and then mostly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, highs around 58 and light winds, and then Friday night, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, and it starts raining on Saturday, and it probably keeps it up through about Wednesday or Thursday. So the beautiful sunshine that we're seeing right now needs to be enjoyed even as we see it. Tune in to Juno Afternoon tomorrow. Jeff will have as his guests Jess Brown from the Zach Gordon Youth Center. He'll be talking about the Hershey's Track and Field Meet on Saturday. And there'll be some folks here from the last weekend's performance of Bigfoot the Musical at Perseverance Theater. He'll also have the usual Writer's Almanac, music, and oh, so much more on Juno Afternoon. You're in tune with KTOO Juno at about 2 minutes to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas, but we also broadcast on a set of translators throughout the area. In the Valley and Auk Bay, you can tune K276AF at 103.1. You can get our signal on K2698O in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek at 101.7. Gustavus hears us on K201 AM at 88.1. K220BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In an excursion inland and icy strait, you hear KTOO on K210 AS. We're on 89.9 megahertz there. In Juneau, you can also get our signal on GCI Cable Juneau, digital channel 871. Our sister stations KRNN and KXLL are on 872 and 873, and we're streaming online at www.ktoo.org.